Blog Talk Radio.
To home, Helen Arm, Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus on today and together as never before. This is a glorious day, and I am so glad that you joined me on today at home, Helen Arms, Ministry of Empowerment. So once you grab your Bible, come right on in and make yourself right at home. I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously, yes, tremendously blessed by the Lord. I tell you, we're sitting at a great time and space as never before, a place and time that we've never been before, as we are seeing the wonderful hand of God. We have been talking about the holiness of God, and on today we're going to talk about perfection and progression of holiness as we go deeper, amen, as never before, into the holiness of our Lord and Savior. So grab your Bible, come on in. This lesson is going to be about how we learn of the necessities for spiritual growth, and this growth is progressive, leading towards perfection. We must desire to be like Christ, who is our example. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, desiring and pressing forward on to be like Christ, Christ-like. Our key scripture is going to be found in 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 18, and that scripture reads, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, there's various scriptures that we're going to be looking at, and so first one we're going to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Then we're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, and Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. And so it reads on this line, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses number 1 through 10, it reads, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his body in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentile which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother or in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have warned you and testify, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, and who hath not given unto us his Holy Spirit, who is also, I should say, given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourself are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Then Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptismal and of the laying on of hand and of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. Now, what we want to talk about on today is our focus is going on verse number one. I want to read that again. For us to go on, it said, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. And so here we want to talk about it's time to move forward, to progress forward into the perfection and progression of holiness. And it's very, very critical because I had an opportunity before we get into the lesson to talk with the wonderful saints of Shekinah. And as we begin to talk with them and share with them that this is a critical time for us as never before is for us to begin to anchor ourselves really down in God and in the things of God and move it on to a greater place in God and in the things of God. God wants us to move on to perfection and be progressive as we move in forward, making a progress as we move in forward in the things of the Lord. And so this is what we're going to be looking at on today. And no matter where you at right now, I don't want you ever to feel bad, amen, but I want you to feel a need to move on to perfection and to move to a higher ground or keep moving and keep being propelled forward in the things of God. Now, let's take a look. What a foreseeable task Moses was faced when God commissioned him to lead the Israelite out of Egypt. First, Egypt ruler did not want to let the Israelite go. In battle between Pharaoh and Moses, God's power was continually inhibited, and the Lord, by strength of hand, brought the people of Israel from Egypt. Exodus chapter 13 and 3. Now, during this time, God was effecting his people's deliverance. A strange thing occurred. The plague fell on Egypt, but not on Israel. The reason? That they may know how that the Lord do put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. God made a separation between his people and the ungodly world out of which he called them. Now, Pharaoh finally agreed to let the Israelite leave Egypt, but after they left, he changed his mind. He decided that he would not lose his slaves. Oh, so he and his army pursued them. Now, we must recognize that God moved again to separate his people from the Egyptian. There was a pillar of cloud that came between the camp of the Egyptian and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, and so that the one came out not near the other all that night. So it was a separation that took place, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 20. So in their first battle encounter to en route to the promised land, God shielded his people by a separating wall. Now, Israel coming out of Egypt is a type of the church coming out of the world of sin. Satan does not want to let people go from sin's prisons. He wants them to slave for him like a blind Samson. But Jesus went to Calvary to secure the keys of death and hell. You'll find that over in Revelation chapter 1 and 18. Through Satan's, though he tried to detain us, Jesus' mighty power has prevailed and delivered. Now, to save us from falling back into Satan's clutches, God has put a difference between us and the world, a separation, a dividing line, like a white linen fence around the tabernacle. It keeps his people safe from the world. And if you ever take a chance and have an opportunity to look at the tabernacle in the Old Testament, you will see a beautiful white linen fence that is in is all the way around the tabernacle. It denotes the separation. And I want to say to you, even to the women, don't despise wearing your white. It denotes a beautiful message before the Lord our God. Just as that white fence was around the children of Israel and a separation, your white that you wear, even during the women's program, consecration, communion, it is speaking volumes and something that God has blessed the children of God to have. So don't despise that. Wear it with honor and dignity, because even as God put a fence and a separating wall around the world, amen, and around the children of Israel to separate them from Egypt, so is your white, is denoting, I'm separated as unto the Lord our God. Amen. Let's look further in things. The biblical standards of holiness separate us from the world of sin and death. The convert leaves his sinful life behind and begins a journey towards a new city in which dwelling in righteousness. Now, after God frees Israel from Egypt's clutches, Moses discovered a greater problem. Israel had left Egypt, but Egypt remained in Israel. It took about 10 days to get Egypt out of Israel out of Egypt, but it took the next 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Now, I'm going to say that again, amen, because it's critical to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and have precourse in our life. Israel had left Egypt, but Egypt remained in Israel. It took about 10 days to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took the next 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. And so we must recognize that God is wanting to do a great work in and through our life and hold fast to the victory that you have attained even right now where you're at. Amen. It's no looking back. It's marching upward and forward and ahead to the progression and to perfection of holiness. So don't despise where you're at. You may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you were. Used to be. Come on now. I feel a holler in my spirit. I just felt the release of the power of God right there for you. Whatever it is that you're battling with, give it over to Jesus and let his grace. And I just want to stop right now. All you have to do is just say, Father, let your grace abound. Lord, let your grace abound in my areas of weaknesses, in my area of testing. Let your grace abound. And watch, he'll come in and take a bold in those places. Further, after a few weeks following the Lord and seeing his miracles, the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai. There Moses ascended to the peak to talk with God for 40 days. Upon his return, he found Israel worshiping the gods of Egypt, a golden calf. Their jewelry he had became their gods. When they dared to worship an idol god, the doors to other sins were open. They began to dance and party, and these activities led to sexual immorality. So let's stop here. Again, we must be careful as the children of God that we are not opening doors for other sins to come in. When God brings us out, let's keep those doors closed. And if those doors are not closed, say, God, close those doors. Lord, forgive me. Take responsibility. I did do that. I ask that you forgive me. That's my weakness. Deliver me. Take it from me. And begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, in every area of your life, and things work in those areas, Holy Spirit. I give you permission and the grace. You said, God, your grace is sufficient. If not, it started out with their jewelry and things, and then it went on to worshiping idol gods. And then from worshiping other idol gods, they started dancing and started partying, and then that led them also to sexual immorality. Now, when he saw the people's transgression, Moses became very angry. Holiness has been God's exterior boundary of perfection And when God spoke to him, Moses lingered on the mountain with God, the people reverted back to worshiping of idols. Now, there came a time in our walk with God that our conviction will be tested without our pastor's influence around us to help us. This is when we learn that the heart is desperately above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. And so our hearts sometimes become tested. Not sometime, it will be tested. Amen. And in those testing time, amen, it is proving us, you know, where we're at in our walk with the Lord. And even if you fail in those times of testing, is a time to get back, repent, ask forgiveness, let the word wash and cleanse you, ask God's help to help us to be the men and women of God that he called us out to be, and allow the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit to wash and cleanse us. And his word is like a fuller soap. It's going to wash us and going to cleanse us. The more you stay in the word, the more you're being washed. It's critical to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sin, but there's a constantly ongoing cleansing power that's taking place in our life, even when we're walking and living in the word of the Lord. It's cleansing our mind. It's giving us new perspective. It's transforming our mind and converting us as to what God, how and what God wants us to think in his word to abide in and through our lives. Now, let's look further. The scripture says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 16:25. Some people will fail and return to the life of sin, but those who are spirit-filled will turn to God with all of their hearts, here it is, and allow the Holy Ghost to guide them towards a greater understanding of truth, John 14:26. It's not God's will that you turn back to the world. It's his will that you turn unto him. Even if you fail, turn unto him and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. Let's look at John 16:13. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. These times of testing causes us to grow spiritually and natural, and for us to mature, and we develop our personal and inner conviction. Now, holiness must be in both the head as well as in one's heart. The more than just a mental ascension, it is also an affection for what is pure, what is wholesome, and what is godly. From the heart, we must love God's ways of living, and that's critical. We must seek those things that are pure and allow the pure things to be in our life, wholesome things and godliness to reside in our life, to reside in our home, to reside in our conversation and our behavior. Amen. That's where we're going on to perfection, because now God is allowing my spirit to become pure, my heart pure, my emotion, my thoughts pure, and I'm giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to purify and sanctify and cleanse my heart through prayer, through fasting, through the word, through attending the church worship, Bible study, through also as well as through our time of fasting and seeking the heart of the Lord, fellowshipping. All these things are purifying us, cleansing us, and healing us. Now let's look at the call for growth. When we came to God, some of us from the various types of walk of life, being born in sin, we were lost and undone, bound for hell and eternity, doomed from God's presence. But a loving God saw us in our filthiness and gave us the opportunity of a brand new start. Wonders of wonders, we are born again. How? First, we must die, and our past must be utterly reputed. This is through by repentance. Next, we must be washed and to cleanse us from our sins. This happened when we are baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins. And finally, we are sanctified and made holy when we receive the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is the new birth experience. 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, after we experience salvation, we study God's word to understand the basic plan of salvation. Like a baby, we are in an accumulated growth period. We have to eat the word of God. From the basic doctrine, we devolve into a new other areas of God's word. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, Hebrews 6 and 1. The ways to advance towards the perfection of God is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3 and 18. Now, let's look further into holiness in growth should be our goal. Now, when a newborn babe is born, it generally is difficult to ascertain whether the child will resemble mom or dad or even the grandparents. As it grows, the prominent characteristics appear. The heredity traits are proudly proclaimed, and the world recognizes the child in his physical heritage. Now, the new birth is a spiritual birth over in John 3, 5. As time progresses, we grow in the spirit. The more we grow, the more we will resemble our Heavenly Father. We will look holy. We will act holy and possess inward holiness like our holy God. This does not come naturally because of our carnal nature. It comes because through His Spirit, God has imparted His holy nature in us. He sanctified us at the point of salvation, placing the potential of growth in His holiness as we journey towards our eternal home. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3 and number 7. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Amen? Let's look at sanctification. That means to make holy, sanctify, purify, to set apart or consecrate, to sanctify, the state of being consecrated. Now, look at number two. Let's look at separation to God. The separation of the believer from evil things and evil ways. That's what separation to God means. Now, let's go on further. God has given us to be peculiar treasures in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. It is His will for us to be like Him, going from what we were to what He desired us to be in Him requires growth in holiness. Our sanctification is the will of God. God is calling us to holiness. How the flesh rebels while the spirit within us rejoices. Those who do not have the Holy Ghost are sometimes hesitant about holiness and having difficulty accepting and understanding its motivation and purpose. Why holiness is their question. And so you can see that those that don't have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, they will question it. Now, the reason we must practice holiness is that we serve a holy God. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 11 and 44. We must be like Him to be accepted of Him. So that is our goal. The Holy Ghost guides us, produces the evidence of holiness in our life. The longer we are a child of God and continue to grow in Christ, the less of the flesh will be visible to the world and the more Christ will shine through our hearts, through our mind, through our spirit, our disposition, our attitude, our responses will all begin to reflect God, godliness, His holiness, His righteousness. We'll be quick to hear and slow to speak. Amen. In Luke chapter number 2 and verse 52, as we're talking about the progression in growth in our method, we notice two areas of growth in the life of Christ, natural and spiritual. Now, Christ increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. True holiness followed the same pattern we see in Jesus. After we are born again, we will grow in holiness outwardly, and we will grow in holiness mentally and inwardly. In our physical being, we grow until adulthood and then stop, but we never cease to grow mentally and spiritually. Spiritual growth begins with our new birth, and it begins to manifest itself outwardly as we learn that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We quit the habits of sin that defile the body, knowing that God will destroy those who defile his temple. As the new believers learn and grow, they stop using and stop going and doing and putting anything in their body or even exposing their body to things that will cause them to be taken out of the presence of God. Any sin, they stop doing those things because they don't want to be destroyed by those things. His new nature responds to the word of God that teaches him how to live godly in this world. Now, we learn to appreciate holiness guidelines that was passed to us by our elders and teaching, and apply biblical principles to the modern culture activities. We learn that holiness is more than the outward appearance and behavior, for it is our mind, our hearts, and our souls as a child of God, as we walk with God. So it's our mind as well, it's our hearts, and it's our soul that must become holy like our Lord God Almighty is holy. It involves discipline, the application of God's command to how we think, how we feel, and conduct ourselves. God give us the nature and potential of holiness, but we are to bring into captivity the desires, the lust, and the thoughts of our mind. We have the tremendous task and opportunity to develop the inner man of the Spirit. We grow in the Spirit, we bear fruit of the Spirit, and we can enhance our love for one for another. We learn how about the operation of the gift of the Spirit. We expand in love, and we expand in mercy and grace and truth. All of our joy and God's great pleasure and delight. And as we take delight in those, and he takes delight in us. We never need to cease from growing when it comes to the inner man. There is always room for improvement. Someone said, the larger the room is in the world, the larger room in the world is a room for improvement. In God, the room seems always to become larger as we grow in him. And as I shared with someone one day in things of group, I said, no matter how high you go, you stop constantly growing and learning more of God and the things of God and called to grow. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, that's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, growth starts on the inside by the new birth and bring changes to the outside. We do not become holy because we obey God, but we are made holy by God so that we will obey him. After Jesus entered in our life, we learn that his standards of holiness reflects what he created in us by his Spirit. We appreciate these protective guidelines to keep us from ever reverting back to the ways of sin. As we grow into spiritual adulthood, we look back and thank our spiritual parents for the rules we once did not understand about holiness and righteousness, but they were the keeper. They kept us in the places where God wanted us to be and kept us holy and righteous before the Lord our God. Why holiness? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that every one of you should know to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 and 4. We learn how to take care of God's temple, our body. We receive instruction from His Word and order our steps to walk in harmony with the instruction. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit, which belongs to God. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 20. We need ministers to teach us how to glorify God with our bodies and how to avoid glorification and glorifying the flesh. We should ask ourselves, do people see me or do they see Christ? We need instruction to be able to bring our spirit up under subjection so that His Spirit shine through us. How do we progress in holiness? We read the Holy Bible reverently and practice its precepts. Most people in the world do not know what God's Word says about holy, being holy. As we read the Word of God, we should allow the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, to guide us into all truth. John 16 and 13, we should be sensitive and quick to obey when we discover the truth of God's Word. These are those who were despised, and there are those who will also despise holiness. Now, their carnal nature refused to yield to God's requirement. They grieve the Holy Spirit, who is trying to seal them from corruption until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4 and 30. Don't you know this Holy Spirit is trying to seal you, to keep you from sin and corruption? Amen. And we must yield over to it and allow the Holy Spirit to have His free course and His preeminence in our life. God has called everyone to holiness, and those who refuse His holiness will eventually fall from His grace and into greater error and further away from God. Those who embrace the truth of God and walk in His grace will continue to grow in holiness. This growth may take time and patience, but it cannot be ignored. We are preparing for that day when Christ will present His glorious church to Himself, a people who will have no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish, Ephesians 5 and 27. That's very critical for us as the children of God. Now, let's look further. Amen. Christ is our foundation. Many people view holiness as a set of rules espoused by a particular organization to experience their aversion to holiness. Some cry that such rules revert back to the Old Testament legalism and bondage. But this is not true. The true child of God have been changed inwardly and outwardly, both in the heart as well as in behavior. They are new creatures and living a new kind of life. They have turned from sin to the Savior, from darkness to light, from ungodly behavior to righteous living. They are no longer liars, but their words are now true. They are no longer thieves. They are now honest with all people. The Old Testament is not built on legalism, but on the mercy of God. The fault was not in the law given to Moses, but in the sinful nature of the people. The law had no remedy for the fallen nature, so God gave the law to reveal the exceeding sinfulness of humanity and the need for the Savior, Jesus Christ. As a child of God, we are not under the law, but under grace. But grace is not a license to sin. Rather, it is a motivating power and inward strength that makes it possible for us not to sin. Now, let's look further. The Old Testament is full of types of the New Testament experience, for it is our teacher to bring us to Christ. For example, the New Testament tells us that the event in Israel's history are an example for us, that even their failure teaches us not to lust after evil as Israel lusted. Now, all these things happen unto them for an example, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. We learn from the Old Testament what God's likes and dislikes are. Although many of the laws were types and shadow of good things to come, Hebrews 10 and 1, they could never bring a person to perfection. People tried in the Old Testament to please God, but they did not have the Holy Ghost within them to empower them to do so. That's the key difference. Although we are not required to live by the demands of the law given to the nation of Israel, the moral principle behind these rules are still valid today. For example, one of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not kill." The New Testament says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." 1 John 3:15. If those Old Testament laws were not the very image of the things which God expects, how much more should we serve the real purpose and the laws of God, which is holiness? For example, the Old Testament priest was commanded to wear a mitzvah upon their head with inscription, "Holiness to the Lord," embezzled on the front of their hat. That command may be a type of the New Testament preacher who is to hold holiness and high before the people. Paul wrote, "All scripture is given for inspiration of God, by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, both Old Testament and the New Testament, is profitable in that it teaches us how to be saved and admonishes us to follow a clean and holy lifestyle. Why is all scripture profitable? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:17. The Old Testament people could not be perfect or complete without the New Testament church, but we are of the new covenant through the power and the leading of the Holy Ghost. Can we achieve what Christ said in Matthew 5:48? "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now, we can also see in Hebrews 11:40. Now, further, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophet. I am not to come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5:17-20. Jesus did not eliminate the principle that helped mankind to have a relationship with God. He came to save us and to show us how to live without yielding to temptation. He came to complete what God had begun in the Old Testament. And we can now live a life free of sin and pleasing to God. We can fulfill God's expectation of holiness in our daily living. Our walk with God, living holy, exceeds the religiosity of the Pharisee whose pride was in their righteousness. Our hope is not in ourselves, but in God's righteousness. Our efforts towards holiness is not motivated by self-righteousness, but by the love for Jesus Christ and our desire to be like him as well as to please him. The Pharisee was motivated by carnal pride and religious statutes, but we are motivated by God's grace and his holiness in our hearts. We should ask ourselves, am I building my belief and conviction on the right foundation? Or am I motivated by carnality and religious affiliation and position? Do I genuinely desire to be like Jesus is the question, the theological question to ask ourselves. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:10-18. As what it says, "Let every man take heed how he build thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than this that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon a foundation, silver, gold, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. God don't want us to be deceived. Let us further, as we look in progression towards perfection and holiness necessary, or are we making an issue out of something unimportant? The scripture revealed that we shall be known by our fruits. Simply said, whatever is on the inside is revealed and identified by the fruit produced on the outside. You identify a tree by its leaves and fruit, visible evidence. The Holy Ghost on the inside will reveal the outward flesh being under subjection to the desires of God. Now, God will judge in that day by whether or not we obeyed his word and did his will. People who refuse to bring their body, the temple of God, up under subjection to holiness will find themselves lost at the judgment seat. We should not deceive ourselves into thinking that spiritual works which we have accomplished will save us. So the key is just saying, God, I'm subjecting myself up under your Holy Spirit and let your will be done in my life. God, I subject myself to the Holy Spirit and your grace. We can only be saved by his grace, and we can only know his grace is through his obedience to his word. Yes, progression toward perfection of holiness is necessary. Christ laid the foundation upon which we are to build. Failure to build upon the foundation of holiness will bring God's judgment, rejection, and destruction unto us. Now, let me give you these few points, and then we're going to close. Amen. What would happen if every child of God lived by the principle? When we dress, amen, we should ask ourselves, are we doing how we're doing it? Are we doing it to bring glory and honor unto the Lord? The psalmist David said, I will set no wickedness before my eyes, Psalm 101 and 3. And so we have to be careful of what we put before us. Amen. Amen. The progression towards holiness leads us towards perfection. We may never attain perfection simply, especially in this life, but we can strive in its direction. James wrote, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. James 3 and 2, being able to hold your tongue and not speak, even if it's right to speak. Amen. That's perfecting holiness in our life. We can all strive to reach the goals and progression in holiness as long as we live on this earth. Amen. Let this mind, Jesus made himself of no reputation. This approach is the direct opposite to today's humanistic, it's me approach. Amen. Jesus had all majesty at his disposal, for he was God manifested in the flesh, yet he set his majesty aside to save us. Holiness is found in the person's humble opinion of himself and in the unlimited exaltation of God. Now, number two, Jesus humbled himself. When we are mature, we have the ability to say no to ourselves. We recognize when our flesh is putting on a show and desiring attention, and we bring our flesh into subjection and submission to God. The writer of the old conscience, he has no rule over his own spirit, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Number three, Jesus became obedient. The real test of the child of God is that of obedience. Can we obey God's word even when we do not understand why God gave us that command? Obedience is not necessarily an easy and automatic. Jesus had to pray three times in the garden himself to become submissive to the will of God. We may not always understand every rule and regulation for a standard of holiness, but our spirit leads us into all truth. His spirit leads us into all truth. As we mature in God, we will grow towards perfection and God's have designed for us. In the meantime, we should take counsel from those who have authority over us, read our Bible, and pray for God to lead and to guide us. And as we do these things, we will mature and become greater people and children of God. And so, child of God, I am so glad that you allowed us to talk about this wonderful subject of holiness when holiness is coming up under attack on every hand. Amen. God is looking for us to be holy. If we continue in the Word of God, we will.